Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the PW Torch Livecast, Sunday edition. It is June 4th, 2017, and we are on the air at the conclusion of WWE Extreme Rules for this year. On a night when Samoa Joe won the Fatal 5-Way match, earning the shot at Brock Lesnar next month at WWE's Great Balls of Fire. On a night when Sheamus and Cesaro became two-time WWE World Tag Team Champions, and on a night when The Miz won the WWE Intercontinental title for the seventh time, defeating Dean Ambrose. Our number is 515-605-9345, and we are anticipating your calls and the arrival of Mr. Greg Parks, my co-host, which will happen momentarily. Let's go through the other matches tonight on the pre-show. Yes, it was Kalisto defeating Apollo Crews. Then after that, we went to the main show. The other three matches tonight, it was Rich Swann and Sasha Banks defeating the team of Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. It was Alexa Bliss beating Bayley decisively in the kendo stick on a pole match to keep the women's title. And it was Neville successfully defending the cruiserweight title, defeating Austin Aries by submission. At least I think it was by submission. The rules of the match were a little bit unclear. Okay, calls are stacking up online while we wait for Greg Parks. We're almost ready to go to break. The one thing that we know is, yes, there is a pay-per-view called WWE Great Balls of Fire. And yes, believe it or not, it will be Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe on that show. We also have WWE's Money in the Bank show in 2 weeks. So there's a whole lot of WWE wrestling going on here, kids. Tell you what, we're gonna line up the emails, we're going to line up the calls, and we will rejoin you momentarily. Don't you go anywhere.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
And we're back with more of the PW Torch Livecast postgame show for WWE Extreme Rules 2017, a Raw brand pay-per-view. I'm Pat McNeil. I'm going to have to give the show a thumbs up based on the fact that we had three good matches out of there, and I think based on that and the strength of the main event was good. I think I'm going to have to give that a thumbs up, but that's just my opinion. Your opinion is what we're searching for here. Number is 515-605-9345. Tell you what, we're going to see. Where are we going to kick things off this evening? We're going to go to Jordan in New Rochelle, New York. Hold on just a moment, Jordan. Let me get this ready for you. Jordan, you're on PW Torch Livecast. You're our first caller. Go for it.
Hey, what's up, Pat?
Hey, how you doing, Jordan?
I was going into this thinking this really wasn't going to be a good pay-per-view, but this was actually a pretty good pay-per-view that they had. It was a solid show, a lot of good matches. I thought the Austin Aries match was really good. I thought they did a lot of spots in that, and it was with, like, a lot of fast-paced action. I thought that was a really good match, but the main event was great. I loved it. I mean, I was cringing when Roman Reigns got in all that offense, but I'm happy with Samoa Joe winning. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup with Lesnar, but I'm actually relieved that Finn Balor didn't win, because I think we have to be real with ourselves. If he did win, do you really think Vince is going to let him beat Brock Lesnar? So I'm happy that he didn't win, because that, I think, guarantees that he'll be champion down the road. So also, did you hear the rumors that they were thinking about having Brock Lesnar interrupt the match and, like, take everybody out? Because I thought that I saw a rumor about that earlier today. Do you think that would, like, spice things up?
Yeah, well, fortunately, that rumor wasn't true. I think that this went over a little bit better. I mean, even though Samoa Joe is supposed to be a heel, I think that, you know, having the good match and having it be a thing where just, you know, the last guy to hit the finisher wins made it special. But that's my opinion. For our other opinion, let's go to our co-host standing by in Torch Florida headquarters, our man Greg Parks. Greg, this is the time.
Hey, how's it going, Pat?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So, what were your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the pay-per-view overall, and on Jordan's question there?
Well, I'll attack the question first. I don't think it would have been a good idea to have Brock Lesnar come out and destroy. I didn't see that rumor, but if it was out there, I don't think it would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
With Great Balls of Fire coming up, you want to have an opponent who has earned that shot against Brock Lesnar. You've made Brock look strong throughout his tenure in WWE since his return from full-time UFC. So you need to make his opponent look strong for the upcoming match. Now, if he came out and attacked everybody in this main event, it would have furthered making Brock look strong, but I don't think that would have been necessary. I think at this point, it's more important to get an opponent ready for Lesnar who you can imagine beating him. And Samoa Joe's already that guy. I mean, there's already discussion on Twitter about should Samoa Joe go over. I don't think he's going to, but that discussion is there primarily because they booked Joe to beat Finn Balor here tonight with a submission, and Joe is looking good heading into a July's pay-per-view against Lesnar.
Yeah,
I mean,
Samoa
I think this
Joe
is a match that would have been
really
more
tonight.
I agree. I think this is a match that would have been more of a dream match maybe 10 years ago, but this is still going to be pretty special, and both these guys can go here. So Raw Talk is currently on the WWE Network, and we are watching the replay of Alexa Bliss just beating the crap out of Bayley with a kendo stick. If anything interesting happens on that show, because I have the sound off, somebody let us know, okay? So Greg, you overall like the show?
You know, I'm kind of torn on it because I thought for the most part the wrestling was pretty good. I thought the main event was really good. I had a hard time with some of the stipulations and some of the rules and non-rules that were not really explained for these matches. Your mileage may vary. If that isn't a big deterrent for you to enjoy the show, this is probably a strong thumbs up show. If you're someone who, you know, when Jeff Hardy climbs back into the ring after already having left, and all of a sudden now he needs to climb out again for the Hardys to win the match, if that is something that bothers you and takes you out of the moment, then this show had a lot of those issues throughout. So your mileage may vary. I lean more toward those moments kind of taking me out of things. So this wasn't a bad pay-per-view by any stretch, but there were enough of those moments to stop me from giving this show a strong thumbs up.
Okay, that's certainly fair, and I definitely had a problem with I didn't have a problem with what Aries and Neville did, and I'm like Jordan in that regard, but I have a problem when you announce a submission match, and then suddenly inside the match they let you know that countouts and disqualifications are also possible, in which case it's not a submission match. I didn't really have a problem with the cage match rules because I've been watching WWE's stupid cage matches for at least a quarter century, and I knew that Jeff had to if Jeff went back into the cage and validated the whole the whole thing, which invalidated him getting out in the first place. But and I think they tried to explain that on commentary, although they might have been confused.
And then you had before Jeff got in the match, you had Matt Hardy try to stop Sheamus from leaving through the door, where if he just left through the door with Sheamus, he would have won because Jeff was already out and hadn't re-entered the match. And, I mean, there were a lot of little stuff like that. Maurice slapping Dean Ambrose to try to draw disqualification about 10 minutes into the match. Like, why wasn't that something she did right off the bat? You know, if that was something that could have disqualified Ambrose. Because at times in the build-up, they said if Ambrose gets himself disqualified, which sort of, to me, in my mind, took out the possibility that Maurice slapping The Miz as she did tonight, that wouldn't draw a DQ for Dean. He had to do something himself to get himself disqualified. They used that phrasing, but then here tonight, they went away from that and teased that, yes, Maurice could slap The Miz to get Dean disqualified, but it was the ref using leeway in that. So, you know, just a lot of those moments, when WWE throws these stipulations in, they've done a really poor job of explaining to the viewers what is allowed and what isn't within the world of those stipulation matches.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it's Vince McMahon who thinks that that sort of thing doesn't matter. Well, it kind of does, yeah. Okay, Jordan, any other input on tonight's show?
I just had one more thing. So my brother watches, like, on and off, and he had a question that really, like, I was agreeing with him about Finn Balor, and he was saying, because he watches on and off, he was saying, oh, well, why is he not out in his demon paint? And I was like, well, it's only for big matches. And then he's like, well, what's going on tonight? And I was like, oh, it's like a five-way to see the faces of Brock Lesnar. And he was like, well, isn't that pretty big? And he asked, is Roman Reigns in that match? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, he is. And he's like, then that's a big match. And I was wondering, why does he only like wear it when he's going to win? Because I think he's undefeated in the demon paint. So I was wondering about that. And also my next question, and then I'll let more callers get on, where does Finn Balor go from here? And also Bray Wyatt, because they've been losing a lot.
Okay, well, I mean, I'll Greg, you can answer after me. I think where Finn Balor goes is into a feud with Bray Wyatt. I mean, that would be the logical thing to do with both of them.
Yeah, especially based on how this match went down, I think you could get to a feud out of what happened tonight. Balor with the demon paint, I think it's good that they don't use it all the time. I think if he just uses it, say, in title matches, that those would be big enough moments. Yes, tonight is a big match, but there was no title on the line. And I think if he just used it even for title challenges or title matches on pay-per-view, I think that would be good enough.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, let's see. I think that's it, Jordan. And I think that they didn't. I think that they felt the multi-person match wouldn't. With all that they had to do and the multiple entrances, they didn't have time for a Finn Balor entrance. They probably did though. And
well,
more importantly, I don't think they wanted him to. Yeah, a little early, yeah. But I think the other thing is that they. You're right. They didn't want to have Finn lose and when he's wearing the war paint.
Well, that's
I think they take Finn seriously, but yeah, okay. All right, thank you, Jordan. And Jordan drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. Just to go over the basic rules of the post-game show, you know, you can ask up to three questions, you can make up to three comments, you can combine the two as in two questions and one comment, but at the end of the day...
That's a magic number.
And this show is PG by order of my boss.
While we're waiting
for
our next caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to, keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
It's just that simple. All right. Got the chat room. Sam Weiss is in the chat room saying, other than the last half of the main event, this was a boring show. I don't know about that. I thought that Miz and Ambrose, for example, was good. I mean, it was a good match, you know, convoluted finish notwithstanding.
Yeah, I thought the in-ring
Greg?
Work here was I think the in-ring work here was better than the last pay-per-view. Which wasn't saying much, I guess, but Ambrose and Miz, I liked the bulk of the match. I thought it was pretty good. I liked the mixed tag match. The tag team cage match was also good. Aries versus Neville. I think it went a little too long, but otherwise was really solid. I'd even go, you know, the main event, I think the entire match as a whole was really good. I wouldn't even just categorize it as the last half. I thought the whole thing was really solid. Certainly main event caliber for a pay-per-view.
I mean, there were a couple of what I call kind of goofy spots early, but you know, business picked up, and I mean, you can't argue that. I mean, there was a lot of action in it, and that's one of the good things about having, you know, multiple guys in the main event. They keep everything moving, and I liked the cage match too. You know, it was one of those close finishes, and they didn't really play into the fact that Matt Hardy tried to drag Jeff out of the cage head first when he really should have tried to drag him out feet first so he could have his feet touch the ground first. But you know, Sheamus and Cesaro win, and it definitely sets up a rematch, which is a good thing because none of the other tag teams, they made all the other tag teams look like jobbers.
True. Yeah. So I like the feud. I like how it's been broken down so far, and certainly feels like it has legs to continue beyond tonight.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Our next call is going to be hold on. Who was on? Hold on a moment. I just want to see somebody's a VIP caller supposedly. Let me see if I can get to that. I don't see. Okay, well, VIP guy, I don't see you on hold, so we're going to keep going to somebody who's been around long enough that he can qualify as a VIP. Let's go to Derek from Utah. Derek, welcome to the Extreme Rules Postgame Show.
Hey, I thought it was a good pay-per-view. I thought it was a really solid pay-per-view, and I think Ambrose and The Miz really set the tone off right. I thought they had a lot of creative ways to use their stipulation, which could have been like handcuffs, but I think the way that they played it off were able to embed that into the story, probably with the exception of the main event, that was my favorite match. I thought they did a very good job, and a lot of creative idiosyncrasies that kind of made the match fun, and they also the crowd's response to the storytelling was more than the moves. And I think that's something that's kind of lost in modern day wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. I know you're not crazy about it, Greg, but I did like the spot. I did like that when Maurice jumped up on the apron, you could actually hear Miz saying, "Slap me, okay, slap me now," you know, just to make it clear what they were doing.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing that we overlook when we criticize or when we offer critiques of matches. And like I said, I wasn't a big fan of how that developed, and WWE not really being specific enough for my taste, I guess, for what Ambrose can get disqualified for. But the crowd ate it up, and they were into it. They were on Ambrose's side. You could almost hear them breathing in and holding their breath when John Cone threatened to disqualify Ambrose a couple times, first for the Maurice slap and second for running into him. So the crowd bought it, and that's the most important thing from WWE's point of view. Even if I personally disagree with it or wasn't a big fan of it, the crowd in Baltimore ate it up.
That kind of is the important thing.
I think to that point is, you know, a lot of times modern-day wrestling is kind of blamed, or at least it takes some heat for emphasizing more on high-risk wrestling than good storytelling. But if they could kind of turn back the clock and emphasize that more, it's going to be longevity for guys' careers. And also I think it's a missing aspect of something that fans want, but they don't know they want it until it's happening in front of their face. And then there's a natural reaction,
right,
because you want to continue to go. And that's something that a lot of times is just not used. And I think they did that to perfection tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think so. I mean, there was some bad storytelling and some good storytelling tonight. I like the good storytelling better, Greg.
Good beats bad every time, Pat.
And then
okay, anything else, Dick? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and then just my last point, and this is to you, Greg. I think if we focused on all of the small bad things in a show, we'd always come away from it unhappy. But I kind of look at it like when I watch sports. If I ended every sports game focusing on the flops or the bad pass interference calls or the inconsistency and how they enforce holding, I would hate every single football game and every single basketball game I ever watched, because it's never consistent and it's never spelled out. And so instead, I just enjoy the product for the end result. Entertainment, and that's what I got tonight.
I mean, that's fair. You know, like I said, your mileage may vary, and if that stuff doesn't bother you, then that's fine. I'm glad you enjoyed it. For me, the frustrating thing is WWE can control this. This is scripted. This is not NFL or Major League Baseball, where there are imperfections are the nature of the game because it is unscripted. WWE is scripting this stuff. They're scripting this stuff weeks ahead of time. If they're planning on having these spots and matches, tell us about it. Tell us what the rules are. I mean, don't just assume everybody knows that, you know, if Jeff Hardy comes back, because they have tag team cage matches so rarely, don't assume that if Jeff Hardy comes back into the match, we know that he has to go out again. Or, you know, some of the other rules that would have been really easy to explain and wouldn't have caused the head-scratching that went on, not just with me, but, you know, watching the show and following it on Twitter. Again, you know, there was a lot of good wrestling on the show, and I enjoyed a lot of the show, but it seemed like every match with a stipulation had these holes in it that WWE could have easily plugged. And I think that's the frustrating thing. It would have been so easy for WWE to take the time and explain some of these things rather than just, you know, let it go and have people scratching their heads.
I think there's some truth to that, but the announcers, to their credit, and they often kind of neglect to do so, but I think tonight Michael Cole actually told us the rules as the match progressed. And when I watch like old school WCW or WWF, that was something they often left out. But the fact that Michael Cole actually pretended like he knew what the rules were as the match was playing out, that's a notable improvement to how things have been in the past.
Right. Okay. All right, Derek, we want to get some other callers. Thank you very much for calling, and I hope you call in 2 weeks from tonight.
You guys have a good night.
Okay, you too. Let's see. All right, we're about due for a break. I think we've got somebody from Baltimore on hold, so hopefully we can get some live in-person perspective from Extreme Rules, which took place tonight in Baltimore. The PW Torch Livecast post-game show.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
All right, the PW Torch livecast post-game show continues after Extreme Rules on June 4th, 2017. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil. My co-host is Torch columnist Greg Parks. 515-605-9345 is how you reach us. This post-game show is Extreme, and we will go now to James from Baltimore. James, welcome to the show.
How's it going, fellas?
It's going well. Were you actually in attendance tonight?
Yes, I'm on my way home from the show. It was
all right. Well, what were your thoughts?
It was good wrestling. It was a good show. I mean, it was a couple spots where it could have been better, and I'm not gonna lie to you. I went to use the bathroom and missed the whole female match. So I really can't answer about that. But you guys can. Hello?
Wait, hello? You missed the women's match? Okay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I missed the entire women's match. I was at the bathroom. But,
oh, wow.
I mean, if you guys want to
know. Well, wasn't that? Well, they only went 5 minutes, so. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to wait. But, I mean, other than that, Roman Reigns got the normal boos and Who up? The Hardys got their pop. Roman Reigns got the biggest reaction of the night.
Well, was there really anything that we didn't get to see on TV?
No, not really. No, you pretty much seen everything.
The reaction. Fan reaction to the. Well, you were in the bathroom for that. How about fan reaction to the mixed tag match?
Oh, Rich Swann got a huge pop. I was one of them. Sasha kind of died off a bit. And it might have been just because she was at the tail end of Rich Swann a little bit because he was at home. And
right.
But it wasn't received like an old school match, but it was like an old school women's mixed tag match. It was everybody was into it.
I heard that a couple days ago we heard that they were almost sold out. Was it pretty full?
Oh yeah, it was full. It was full.
The building.
It wasn't many empty seats there.
Right. Did you see it? Well, you could obviously watch. Go ahead, Greg.
I'm curious as to what the reaction was as people were leaving the building. Did you get a sense that people were happy with how the show went? I know the main event, they were probably pretty happy with that. But as a whole, do you think as people were leaving, did you kind of get a sense that people were happy with the show?
Everyone was happy with the show, but a lot of people wanted their favorite to win the main event. Samoa Joe was the dark horse for most people I talked to. So it was everybody was happy. I mean, everybody was smiling and enjoying it. So it wasn't a bunch of people walking around angry.
Okay.
But
that's good.
It wasn't.
Oh yeah. By the way, listeners, if anybody read my preview column earlier today and bet the opposite of everything I picked, you're rich. Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a good show. It was nothing really.
Okay, that's great. How many shows have you been to in Baltimore?
I've been to two Raws, and I do a lot of indie shows.
I've done one a few times in the NCW up here.
So this is my first pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's... pay-per-views should be fun, so I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah. Well, I'll get off the line so you can get somebody else on there with some other questions for me.
No problem. Right, thank you very much, James. We appreciate it.
All right.
Okay, James drops out. That opens up the line for you, 515-605-9345. Let's take a brief look at email. It's Chad from Albany writes, while watching the Ambrose-Miz match, fans are chanting, "Let's go Ambrose, let's go Miz." This happens often, and in this day of age with fans chanting for both sides, how can we ever have quality real heels with fans treating them like faces? Thank you. Okay. That is the question. That is the question there, Greg, although, fans were treating Roman Reigns like a heel until he hit a cool move and speared two guys through a barricade.
WWE has kind of conditioned fans to pop for those big moves regardless of who hits them. And when you've got guys who go from babyface to heel so often, and a lot of them keep the same moveset, if you're a heel and the fans are used to cheering for your babyface moves, they still may cheer for them as a heel because you don't see a lot of guys change their movesets drastically when they go back from babyface to heel. I mean, that's just one aspect of it. The Miz, I think, has been universally praised over the last year for doing such a great job as a heel and really coming into his own both in the mic on the mic and in the ring. And I think you're sensing the older males appreciating that from the Miz. He's sort of grandfathered in now to a guy who's cheered partially for his longevity as much as anything else. There are a lot of reasons, and the reasons are different depending on what guy you're talking about getting cheered or booed. It's a different fan base, and WWE treats them differently than when we all remember cheering the baby faces and booing the heels.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It is a different era, that's for sure. Okay, 515-605-9345. Let's see who else we have here. Twitter, Michael616 says, Pat McNeil always seems like he'd rather be doing anything other than hosting the post-pay-per-view live cast. Wow, that's quite an endorsement. Thank you. We appreciate it. Let's see who else we have on here. Okay, I'm guessing this is going to be a Skype call we have. Go ahead, caller from the, I want to say the 614 area code. You're on the Extreme Rules post-game show. Hello.
Hi, Pat. It's Jason calling.
Hello,
from
caller.
Australia.
There you are. Hi, Jason. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Hey, Greg. I didn't catch the first bit of the show, but I actually think I've worked something out here. I've realized that if a babyface goes over in their hometown, it means all the other heels have to win their other matches. That's the trade-off. That's what I got from tonight.
That is an excellent point. We had, I think, two babyface wins tonight, and one of them was on the pre-show, Greg.
Yeah, this is, like you, Pat, this show went against a lot of what I predicted would happen tonight. I think like the only match that I got right was I predicted Samoa Joe to win the main event. So I guess maybe main event trumps all. If that's the case, then I'm happy. But yeah, this card went against a lot of what I thought would happen.
And I'm fine with that as long as it's a good show. So
yeah,
and everything makes sense. What did you think of the show, Jason?
I agree with Greg. There's a few nitpicks of mine. Like, is every match supposedly extreme rules? Because if that's the case, you can't get disqualified. Why would the ref threaten to disqualify Austin Aries? You know, you don't sort of get that. I thought the cage match, the rules were both people had to, you know, go over at the same time. And then if one person goes over, the other one's left in the ring. I mean, if that was me and I had a partner, I would allow one opponent to go over, and then me and my partner would just beat the crap out of the other one and then just walk out the door.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know you're not meant to think too hard about these type of things because it's all entertainment, but I think if you're watching this show with a couple of friends who aren't, you know, hardcore wrestling fans, I think they're the questions that they would ask. And if they're asking those questions, you sort of alienate them, and then they're going to think to themselves, well, why should I continue to watch this? It doesn't make any sense. Hardcore wrestling fans, we're going to let this type of stuff slide. We're always going to watch. But I think you risk alienating people who actually are looking for an excuse not to continue to watch. That's my opinion on that. But I guess with the Samoa Joe win, I was surprised by him winning. I guess I'll put it this way. I'm really looking forward to seeing the match between him and Lesnar. But should they have waited for that on a bigger stage? What's your guys' opinion on that?
Well, Vince McMahon is not exactly known for his patience. This is a good thing because I mean this is an opportunity to, with a strong performance here, it will help. Even if he loses, it will help Samoa Joe get more over. Greg.
At this point, I think any pay-per-view that Brock Lesnar is fighting on is a big pay-per-view. So to save this for something bigger, you know, you've got Finn Balor, too, who I think Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar is a match a lot of guys are going to be looking forward to. So that's something you could hold off on. I think trying to do Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar again is something that could be looked forward to as well. So really, any of the five guys we had in that match, except for maybe Bray Wyatt, I don't know if there's a lot of people clamoring for Wyatt versus Lesnar, but I think all of them are good opponents for Lesnar down the line. You had to pick one here for Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed that we had a pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire, and there was a commercial for it, and it did not feature Vince McMahon playing the piano like Jerry Lee Lewis. Very, very disappointing.
I think the days of Vince McMahon hamming it up like that might be over.
Well, I mean, they could have aired clips from Stand Back, from the first Slammy Awards, but
there's still time. There's still time.
They could have had Braun Strowman playing the piano. Yeah. Maybe next time.
I picture Braun Strowman being more like a Phantom of the Opera, when, you know.
They could do that. Okay. All right. Well, what else did you think about the show, Jason?
Just in relation to Vince, just because he's not hamming it up on camera, I don't think he's not hamming it up backstage, because he would be loving it. That's the way that I see it. So I'd love someone to have a camera on him there. But, you know, in relation to other matches, I guess Bayley and Alexa Bliss, that's a good dominant win for Alexa Bliss. I like that, you know, I love this DDT finisher that she's got, where she's pinning people with the DDT. Are they trying to add a little bit of depth to the Bayley character, that she's getting these losses and she's not taking advantage of a vicious streak and then she's going to snap? You know, I'm intrigued where they're going with this character. Are they thinking we want to add a bit of depth to her character and tell a longer story? Or is it about keeping Alexa Bliss strong? Or is it a bit of both? I'm intrigued where they're taking this. I'd like to think they have a plan, but, you know, I'm a little bit cautious, so that's mm-hmm. what I feel about that.
Yeah. Actually, I've got an email that ties into that. It's Frank from Farmingdale, New York. Says, hey guys, with the Alexa Bliss Bayley match, I noticed a few things. Bayley looked very heelish and even spoke a little as such. She was made to look weak in the match. That usually symbolizes the beginning of a turn to me. It would be shocking to see, and I think Bayley really needs a refreshing to her character. What do you think?
I don't really know what Bayley's character is anymore. So it's really tough. WWE's really done a number on her. It's gotten to the point where I thought as much as they made Alexa Bliss look great tonight, which was nice to see, I thought they did some real damage to Bayley, and I don't share Jason's optimism or cautious optimism even that WWE has this grand plan for this Bayley character, because we've seen no evidence of them having any plan for this character since she debuted on the main roster. Tonight I thought was a perfect opportunity for her to take the kendo stick, use it, and maybe get the victory, and you know, maybe add a little depth to her character, that she's not just this spineless jellyfish that Alexa Bliss portrayed her as. And in the end, not only was she portrayed as that spineless jellyfish, she ended up losing the match, and I think that hurt too. So I really don't know what they're doing with Bayley. I really don't have confidence in WWE that this is part of some master plan to either turn her heel or to reconstruct her from the ground up as a babyface. I just think maybe right now Alexa Bliss is more important than Bayley, and they're putting their eggs in her basket, and that's why we saw the booking we did tonight. They weren't in the business of protecting Bayley tonight. They were in the business of making Alexa Bliss look good. Maybe that's the answer.
Okay, well, my answer to Frank, I guess, would be Bayley has never been a heel, not when she was in the Indies in Northern California, not when she was Davina Rose and Shimmer. I mean, so this would definitely be something different for her, and I'm curious to see what she could pull off. But we will find out maybe as soon as tomorrow what's up with Bayley. My other question would be, what's next for Alexa Bliss? Because Bayley was the number one contender. You have Sasha Banks, who has sort of been downgraded into a feud with Alicia Fox. Do you think they're going to go to Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax?
I think that's where they seem to be teasing on television, where Jax kind of, you know, a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, asked for that title shot from Bliss, and you know, Alexa can come out tomorrow night and say she beat Bayley, she vanquished her opponent, and then Nia Jax comes out and says, "Hey, remember me? Remember the title shot? We had a deal." I think that would certainly be a different kind of opponent for Alexa Bliss, and would open her character up to new things by taking on someone like Nia.
And, you know, now that I think about it, I mean, I think Nia Jax would actually be better as a babyface than the heel. I mean, it would be more natural for her. that we will find out tomorrow. And by the way, if you are attending tomorrow in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, be ready to call in after the show and talk to Wade Keller and whoever's on with him at 515-605-9345. We are about due for a break. When we come back, we have more of your calls. We have emails. We have the chat room open. Plus, you know, VIPs can call in. So don't you go anywhere. This is the PW Torch Livecast post-game show.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
And we're back with more of the Extreme Rules post-game show here on PWTorchLivecast.com. I'm Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. And your phone calls come in at 515-605-9345. We have plenty of time left, and we have people waiting on the line. Let's see, Greg, I do want to get to one email here. This is Romeo from New York, who says was in attendance at Extreme Rules. Says, quick notes, it's a small arena, so it felt really loud. Looks sold out. Match of the night was a tie between Miz and Ambrose in the cage match. Lots of shock for Bayley getting squashed. It was hard to hear Elias Sampson, but he got booed regardless. Let's see. Beach balls came out during Aries versus Neville. I did not see any of that. Roman got the biggest boos of the night. Joe was well received, and people were mostly happy Roman didn't win. They are coming back in October for pre-sale. The pre-sale code is Baltimore, I believe. Pre-sale PW is Baltimore. Okay. Well, there you go. That's it. Coming back in October.
Here's my question, Greg. Did Romeo leave before the main event? Because he had the cage match and Dean Ambrose.
I'm wondering.
Tied for the best match.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I can't agree with that. Well, he said Roman Reigns. He said people were happy with Joe winning. So. Don't know. Maybe he's not a big fan of the multi-person matches. My other question, which we haven't gotten to yet, is where does this leave the cruiserweight division and Austin Aries? Is it going to be a storyline, Greg, where we have now TJ Perkins demanding his title shot and maybe turning babyface on Neville, or is Aries going to find a way to get back and do a fourth straight month with Neville?
Yeah, it's been 3 months. And look, if they get to a fourth straight month, I won't complain, because Aries and Neville seem to have pretty good chemistry together. I think I predicted Aries to win the title at WrestleMania. So the fact that he still hasn't won it is kind of shocking to me. Unless they have bigger things for him than the cruiserweight division, I don't know. But if they do move on from Aries, you've got Cedric Alexander, who I think has returned from his injury. So they could go to him. They could go to Tozawa.
Yeah.
They could go to Rich Swann, who he and Sasha Banks picked up a win tonight. And you know, granted, it was a Baltimore crowd, a hometown crowd for Rich Swann, but they were behind him. So he would certainly present a little different character wise than Neville Austin Aries for Neville to play off of. So that would be somewhat unique, but. You know, I think any of those guys are ready. T.J. Perkins, like you mentioned, could be a possibility. But I also don't think we should rule out Austin Aries yet either.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, they could come back with Aries. Question from the chat room. Does Vince McMahon despise Bayley? I don't think so, but I don't think he finds her particularly attractive. He tends to have a type, and I don't think Bayley is that type, Greg.
No, and I don't think she's the type of character he gets behind, or maybe even gets at this point.
Oh no!
So they've got a hot property in Alexa Bliss. That's a character you can tell Vince and the writing team are fully behind. they aside from the misstep on Raw last week where they asked her to do a lot of heavy lifting in that This Is Your Life segment, it's a character they get, and you can see that they're full force behind her, and Bayley's kind of left to fend for herself.
Okay. Tell you what, let's go to the phones. We have Anonymous waiting on hold. Anonymous, you're on the live cast. The Extreme Rules post-game show. Hello.
Hey, it's Pat.
Hello, Mr.
Caller. And hi, I'm Craig.
Greg Parks.
From Toledo.
Hi, Craig.
Craig.
Yeah, you're also on the other line that's on hold.
Oh, crap. Press mute. On
okay.
Your phone, dude. Hold on. He's going to press mute. He pressed mute.
I don't have the other line live. No, it's you're fine. So, what can we do for you, Craig?
Okay. All right. Yeah, my friend is calling, too. He's calling right after me. I just want to...
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on with the Broken Universe. Like, I know what's going on with the Anthem and the Broken Universe and all this stuff. I was totally off on everything that happened, and I went 3-5 tonight in my pick on who was going to win. Mm-hmm. And I love being wrong because it makes me think, you know. But with the right. Broken thing, I love the match. I still don't know why the hell they have cages on the doors. But I love the match, and I love the prospect that
doors on the
like
cages.
Just cost Matt. Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. Jeff cost the match. Jeff cost Matt the match because Matt could have taken care of himself and gotten out of the cage, and Jeff thought he had to come back in and get back in and whatever. I love the fact that, like, that's still a possibility that Jeff is going to turn on Matt, or Matt's going to turn on Jeff, and that everything's going to go broken again, and it's going to be great. And I was so excited about that. Do you think that's a possibility? And then my friend's going to call in afterwards with a stupid-ass question, and have a good night, guys.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Craig. All right, Greg, that's something I hadn't considered. Are they going to go straight to the bit where Matt turns on Jeff and goes nuts and basically replay the stuff that very few people saw on TNA?
From everything I've read, there's still a hold up in getting the rights to that character. I don't know if WWE is creative enough, or maybe Matt Hardy is willing to give it a go to try something completely different but sort of the same. So people can see the parallels between the two, but it's far enough from that broken character to where Anthem doesn't have a legal leg to stand on if they wanted to sue for infringement or anything like that. I don't know if WWE was interested enough to try to go around that. I never really sensed that Jeff and Matt were going to come apart based on what happened tonight. I felt it was just a way to get Jeff Hardy to jump off a very tall thing, as Jeff Hardy does, jumping off the top of the cage there. I think there's still, you know, we're only 2 months removed from them returning to WWE, and I think there's still mileage left in them as a tag team, especially considering the depth of the tag team division on Raw. They're kind of needed on Raw as a tag team right now.
Yeah, plus, I mean, you know, under most any wrestling rules, they would be due for a rematch, and you can probably have that match at Great Balls of Fire, I suppose. I guess, but I think that Vince McMahon just likes saying Great Balls of Fire.
It's quite possible.
I think that's the whole impetus behind this. Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess after that we could go through the whole Matt and Jeff broken saga again, or they can come up with, like you said, they can come up with something completely different, which could be fun. It does seem like the you know, WWE is treating the Hardys with some respect, and they value them, and they're actually paying more attention to the tag team division because they're there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's see. We've been patient here. Okay, Frank from Farmingdale basically he writes back in, and he asks whether we think Samoa Joe is going to win the title off of Brock Lesnar or not, and that he thinks they can go either way. I suspect that Lesnar holds on and that they're not going to take the title off of Lesnar during what is, God help us, his first title defense.
Right, and I wrote about this in my column, I think, 2 weeks ago in the Torch newsletter about kind of plotting out the summer months for the major titles on both brands. And, you know, Lesnar is expected to wrestle Roman Reigns next year at WrestleMania for the Universal title.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, does Lesnar drop it somewhere between now and then, or does he hold it for the entire time? And I think there's a possibility he could drop it if they really wanted someone with that title weekly on TV. Maybe the ratings get bad enough that they think they need the major title back on TV, and that'll help. But you're right, Pat. Lesnar dropping it in his first title defense, even to a guy like Samoa Joe, doesn't make a lot of sense. I think if he does drop it, it'll be down the line, closer to the fall, maybe even the winter, and then get it back maybe when the calendar turns to 2018. But I think it's good that we're asking this question. I think it's good that we're not automatically assuming that Brock Lesnar is going to mow over Samoa Joe, and that it's just academic that he's going to be champion next year at WrestleMania and hold the title throughout this year. I think that's good that there's still some intrigue there, and I think I don't think there are many opponents where we would ask if there was a legit chance that Lesnar's opponent could win a Great Balls of Fire with Samoa Joe, with the style that he has that's so similar to Brock Lesnar, and with that bad attitude that he has. I think it's a legitimate question, but I think Lesnar wins.
Yeah, I would expect so. And again, yeah, you're right. You don't have to have Roman Reigns and Lesnar be for the title at WrestleMania, just like you didn't have to have Roman Reigns and Undertaker be for the title. It can just be a big match. All right, 515-605-9345. I think, Greg, we've possibly put this off long enough. Let's go to the gentleman who is introduced as Craig's dumbass friend from Toledo. Mr. Dumas, you are on the live cast. Hello.
Hey, McNeil, you old fur.
Yes.
Why don't you get out of the game?
Very nice. Quoting Slap Shop is always a... is always popular here. Okay. So how'd you like the show?
Oh, that was cool.
Okay. Do you have any questions or comments you'd like to make?
No, I like where they're going with stuff. I'm glad, you know, Bailey, they gave up trying to put Bailey over all the time, and hopefully they quit on Aries and Neville as well. I mean, I think that's pretty much played out, and I mean, obviously, I don't see Samoa Joe going over Lesnar, but that still should be an interesting match to see.
I would agree with you on the last part. So who do you think should be Alexa Bliss should be fighting?
At this, probably Nia. I mean, at this point, I really don't care as long as it's not Bayley. I mean, I think what's been done with Bayley is god-awful.
Okay, would you be in favor of what the one emailer talked about, which is Bailey turning bad?
Yeah, I mean, what's there to lose with that at this point? They have to do something with her besides sending her back to NXT.
I think they could do something with that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else before we hang up on you?
Well, Sasha Banks, if she was to hook up with Ted DiBiase, would that be money in the banks? Thanks, guys.
And that's where we'll leave it. 515-605-9345. Greg, I want to say we're about due for another break. The PW Torch livecast will continue.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTORCH.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
The PW Torch Livecast postgame show continues after Extreme Rules 2017. Pat McNeil alongside Greg Parks. The number is 515-605-9345. And our last two callers managed to clear the lines completely, so you can get right through as we will continue as long as there are people waiting to talk to us or for another 20 minutes, whichever comes first. So, yeah, Greg, thumbs in the middle on the show. I give the show a thumbs up, not a huge thumbs up, but very effective. Yeah, I thought it was good, and I thought it exceeded expectations in some ways.
Yeah, I'll give it a thumbs in the middle. I think, you know, I gave what was it? Backlash was the last pay-per-view. I think I gave that a 5 out of 10 in my roundtable review. This probably, this was better than that one, just by sheer in-ring work, like I said at the outset. So this will get a higher grade than that. But like I said, really the thing that prevented it from being a strong thumbs up for me was just every match seemed to have these little issues that I talked about earlier. So that brings it down a little bit for me. If it was just one or two matches, you know, I could overlook it. But there seemed to be something in every match that just grinds my gears. And I guess that was sort of the impetus for me to kind of give it not a strong thumbs up. I'm somewhere between thumbs in the middle and thumbs up, if there is a space between those two.
Okay. Let's see. I'm looking through the some recaps. I don't think anything. There really didn't happen on the talk. Put that with his loss, Neville. I would be very disappointed, though, Greg, if they did anything different, if they had him not being upset.
Yeah, and Austin Aries tweeted something earlier tonight after his loss, something about him needing to get back on track, him being disappointed with the loss, and sort of needing to reorganize himself a little bit. And I'm not sure what that's hinting toward tomorrow night on Raw, but yeah, this is the third loss in a row for Aries, I think, on pay-per-view to Neville, and that's got to cause Aries to do some soul searching.
Okay, somebody on Twitter says our number's not working. Okay, 515-605-9345. Yeah, I don't know. We seem to have a lot of people on hold, so I mean they're probably listening to the show. Okay. Well, we'll end up wrapping things up shortly. Let's see. Now, obviously, the big attention is going to be on SummerSlam. Other than the Brock Lesnar Braun Strowman match, which is contingent, of course, on Strowman, you know, being ready to go at SummerSlam. What do you think we're going to be getting, Greg?
Wow. I think you put Samoa Joe in a pretty strong position, depending on how his match shakes out with Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire. You know, coming off a match against a guy like Lesnar for the title, I think that portends big things for Joe down the line. I think, if you do Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe, that's a SummerSlam caliber match to me. Joe, you've got him coming off the win tonight. You've got him coming off a title match with Lesnar, going into a match with Roman Reigns. I mean, those are three big time matches in a row for a guy like Samoa Joe. You look at a guy like Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, the two guys tonight in the main event. Finn Balor, maybe we talked about possibly being matched up with Bray Wyatt. If they do that at Great Balls of Fire, do they follow up with that again at SummerSlam? If so, where does that leave Seth Rollins? You know, it kind of feels like there's going to be an odd man out after tonight's five-way, and It'll be interesting to see how things shake out heading into Great Balls of Fire, and then after that, heading into SummerSlam, which is going to be a dual brand pay-per-view. So it'll have Raw matches, it'll have SmackDown matches. So one would assume, despite, I'm guessing SummerSlam goes 4 hours again this year, there are going to be some folks who are used to having Raw brand pay-per-view matches that won't make it on the SummerSlam card because they're sharing the card with SmackDown. So certainly be interesting to see who makes the cut at SummerSlam and who doesn't have a match or who maybe has a match on the pre-show on the Raw side.
Yeah, that is an excellent point. Thanks for reminding me that SummerSlam is going to be 4 hours again. That's, maybe we'll get another two-hour pregame show with that.
One can only hope.
It could be. It could very well be. The one dark horse scenario I have for SummerSlam is, you know, SummerSlam might be the night where they decide that the Shield is reunites for one night only in a six-man tag. Of course, you'd have to find three strong opponents for the Shield, which I don't know that there's a heel faction that would do it.
No, I think you'd have to match up. You'd have to see, and we saw, granted it dissipated by the end of the match, but we saw Samoa Joe and Bray Wyatt have quite a successful run as a duo in tonight's main event. You pair those two together and you add a third guy, probably not going to be Lesnar if he's champion. He'll be defending at SummerSlam. But you take a third top-tier heel and put him with Joe and Bray Wyatt, and you've got the makings for a worthwhile six-man that puts the Shield back together for one night only.
Yeah, plus one of the rumors that was happening over the past couple of weeks is that once Miz got the Intercontinental title back, we were going to get to we're going to move from Dean Ambrose and Miz to Roman Reigns versus Miz, which if Miz could find two other strong heels, that could be what sets up a six-man tag. And then of course you'd have the intrigue, which hopefully WWE would remember to play up, of, if the Shield's back together, is one of them going to turn on the others again? Because that is what happened. That is what broke up the Shield the first time.
Yeah, and I think that would be a fair question to raise. You kind of have to have hopefully an organic reason for them to team up against the three heels, and that I don't think that would be terribly difficult. You've got a babyface general manager now in Kurt Angle who would be applauded by the fans for putting this super group of the Shield back together, which I think a lot of the fans would be in favor of seeing that, even if it is just for one night only. So, you mentioned Roman Reigns versus The Miz. That is an intriguing feud. And I think if The Miz brought the same kind of energy and the same kind of borderline real life that he brought to his mic work with his feud with John Cena on SmackDown, I think that if he brought that with Roman Reigns, I'd like to see what he could bring out of Roman Reigns in that regard. I wouldn't expect something on the level of John Cena, what Cena retorted when he had the promo battles with The Miz on SmackDown earlier in the year. But I'm kind of wondering how Reigns would react, or maybe how he would be written to react to The Miz, kind of bringing something to the forefront that people haven't really done with Roman Reigns yet. Reigns has spouted these cliches over and over again on the mic, and I think The Miz, if he were allowed to do what he did in his feud with John Cena, would help take Reigns to another level. I'm not saying Miz is the cure-all for what's ailing the booking of Roman Reigns, but I think it would shed a different kind of light on Roman Reigns' character than what we've been seeing.
Yes, I think so. I guess the other big question is, we have Money in the Bank in 2 weeks, and I think we kind of know what we're going to get from Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. But you have two Money in the Bank matches, a Money in the Bank men's match, which, based on the participants, should be really good, and a Money in the Bank women's match, which is, kind of a kind of a wild card here. How do you think? I mean, I trust Charlotte. I trust Natalia. I think Naomi is very good. How do you think these five? Well, Naomi's not going to be in that match. How do you think the five participants are going to mesh, though?
It's going to be really intriguing. With not having had a women's Money in the Bank ladder match before, I think they're going to try and set the bar high, and I think they're going to try and match what the usual expectations are for the men's match. I just think that's the mindset of the women in WWE right now, and God bless them for it. I think this is the kind of match, if you're going to have a dark horse like a Carmella, and you're going to have her challenge Naomi for a title, I think this is the kind of match you have her sort of backdoor into a title match with. She certainly, her win-loss record, I don't think on TV would earn her that spot, but because of the nature of this match, this is where you can get away with having someone like Carmella win the match and spend, you know, a month or two chasing Naomi. I don't think she should get the title unless WWE is really enamored with her pairing with James Ellsworth. They could do that, but this would give Naomi a different challenger for a couple months until they cycle back to the Charlotte Becky Lynch, you know, the top tier of the division.
Yeah, and they could also have Carmella win and just sort of sit on the Money in the Bank briefcase for a while until they feel like there's an opportunity for her.
Yeah,
I could definitely see that happening.
You've got Ellsworth with her, and I could totally see him carrying her on the briefcase for her and all that kind of thing, and that makes the most sense to me, I think. And hopefully, you know, Carmella will finally get a reaction from the crowd when she does cash in. That's like an automatic reaction from the crowd, no matter who's holding the Money in the Bank briefcase, when someone finally cashes it in. Carmella has had trouble getting traction with the live audiences, and maybe this will finally get her that elusive pop that they've been going for, that elusive reaction.
Okay. And now, do you see the possibility of a scenario like last year where whoever wins the Money in the Bank briefcase cashes in the same night?
I don't. I think with SmackDown being, having its own roster and things like that, I think that's really giving away something that you could spend a lot of months on and sort of have it be the focus of the storytelling on one brand. I think it's more important to not cash it in on the same night for booking reasons. It's more important when you have the split rosters than it would be if you had one combined roster.
Okay. Well, with the phones not working, Greg, and looks like we've gone through our allotment of emails, I think we're at about time to call it an evening. Greg, I want to thank you for hanging with us here as we went through Extreme Rules, and I'm looking forward to doing this again in 2 weeks for Money in the Bank, which will be, if nothing else, a very different kind of show.
Oh, absolutely. We'll have a lot to talk about no matter what happens after that one.
Okay, and all of you listening, tune in tomorrow. We will have the live cast immediately following Raw with Wade Keller and with God knows who is the co-host. It should be an interesting evening as we try to unravel what's going to happen next with Raw as we head into SummerSlam. But right now, before we go, we're going to get one last word in on how we pay for this, which is our PW Torch VIP membership. Just letting you know that we think that we provide some of the best coverage of the professional wrestling industry that is out there. And our friendly audio guy is going to tell you about that. And in the meantime, we will see you again on the live cast tomorrow night and doing another pay-per-view post-game show in 2 weeks. Hang in there.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts, The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, the Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
No.